On this episode of Bed Bath & Beyond, Andy and I go down a rabbit hole and discuss who is a better asset to a team, AB or Dez Bryant. We record before the Thursday night game, Eagles versus Giants matchup, and then we record after the Thursday night game, and we preview all of week 7 Sunday games. It is a great episode. We go down many rabbit holes. We go down many tangents, all for your entertainment, and it's starting right now. 3, 2, 1,
go.
I am Ian
Peacock. And I am Andy Heidemann, and I hate sports betting.
No matter what you say, I'm betting $100 on it tonight.
Welcome to Bed Bath & Beyond.
Brought to you by B3T Sports.
There we go.
Our intro takes so long.
You take the longest pause before you say, brought to you by B3T Sports.
Do you know why? Because I have to match your cadence, which is welcome to Bed Bath & Beyond.
Oh, you think I said the intro too slow?
Yeah.
I think that was just a perfectly normal.
I don't think that's true.
Regular speed intro. Fuck you.
Next time we'll swap roles. How about that?
Do you want to restart? No, I'm the intro. Let's just restart.
Yes.
I'm just joking. Please don't delete your audio. You're gonna don't.
I
don't
was very close right there. I was. Very
I know.
Close
every time, there. Like, there's been several times in the past where I've joked about, like, let's just fuck it, let's just restart, and you're like, okay, I'm done, and you
that's 'cause
don't
I,
even think twice about it. You're like, oh, we're gonna delete it. Okay,
well, I'll tell you why. Because I am in the search for perfection, right? If we never thought something wasn't good enough, fuck it, cut it, axe it, we're going again.
Dump it.
How you doing?
Good. Let's see. Thursday night football. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
They signed Dez Bryant.
Yep.
To the practice squad.
We signed Dez Bryant to the practice squad. We also did a hell of a trade earlier today and got Yannick
and Ngakoue
from the Vikings.
I don't know how that's pronounced, but
I mean, that's way better than I look at all those words. And I'm like, I don't even know how to even come close to approaching how to say his name.
There were extensive chats and lots of my chat rooms today about this, about how the Vikings fans are upset. I'd be upset too. I don't understand this move whatsoever from the Vikings org. It's a head scratcher.
I love it personally as a Ravens fan. Sure. It is funny since we're in the Midwest, I'm in Chicago and you're in Iowa. We have a lot of Vikings fans that are in our friend group.
Right.
And just watching them just lose their shit is actually one of the funniest things ever. And then you know what? I don't blame them and there's nothing really I can do. I'm just reaping the benefits of having an awesome GM. But that sucks for Vikings fans.
But we have somebody who listens to us a lot. They're asking us about, you know, Dez or AB. And I saw that in one of our chats as well. And we just started getting into that in the chat room before we started recording today. Dez looked washed before he got cut from the Cowboys, right?
Right. And that's the perfect word to describe Dez, is washed. And look, I'm fine with signing him to the practice squad. In fact, I'm fine with the Ravens bringing him up and trying him out as another offensive tool because we do need some sort of jump start on the offense. The past three games,
your passing game has been kind of
lacking. And we've gotten by sheerly due to one, our defense being amazing. They get like 8 sacks a game. It's awesome. But then also we're playing shitty teams. Like we played the Bengals. We played the Washington football team, and then we recently played the Eagles and almost fucking lost that.
They did.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't worried. Steady hand, like we said. Steady hand. I wasn't worried. But
you go to that corner of the room, and I'm going to stay over here.
Right. But it was too close for comfort. That game was so, yeah, look, I'm totally cool with bringing in Dez and saying like, hey, we'll try him out. Maybe he's not washed. And then look, that's
well, no, before he got signed to the Ravens and last year, he did get signed to a team last year. He got signed to the Saints. He right. just tore his Achilles at practice. So, I mean, they saw something in him. So
yeah, no,
I don't want to say that he's done, but I'm just, but now that you look at Antonio Brown, his suspension is up after 8 weeks. Came in today or yesterday that a lot of teams are interested in signing him, the front runners being Seattle Seahawks. Which is weird.
Let's talk about that for a second. Why? Look, I'm totally down for AB to come back. I would want him on the Ravens. You're talking about if it's between AB and Dez, AB, no question. Right. I want AB. Agree. But I don't think it makes sense for the Seahawks to bring him in.
I think they have DK Metcalf.
Oh, really? Well, this is perfect then. Two opposing views. Fuck you. You're dumb.
The reason I think that it makes sense is because he's probably going to be cheap.
Yes. Right?
I mean, like, AB is going to be like, yeah, I'll take any deal. And the Seahawks are a front runner for a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
They have cap space to pay it, right? The Chiefs aren't going to be able to pay him. I don't know what the Chiefs would even do with him, but the Chiefs won't be able to pay him.
The Chiefs just got Le'Veon Bell, so...
I'm just saying, if you're looking at Super Bowl teams that you think could make a shot, and it won't be the Raiders, it won't be the Steelers, and it won't be the Patriots. Those are just teams that it will not be. So you can knock them off. And then any teams that have been cap space issues, you knock them off. I mean, there's just not a whole lot of places he can go unless he's going to take a major, major haircut. And if he wants a ring, Seahawks make sense.
Okay, here's why I don't think it makes sense. Because their offense is already on fire, right? You have DK Metcalf, who is a fucking stud. He's a ripped 2.0. Greek guy. Yeah, dude, he's ripped, though. He's like more ripped than Calvin. And he is fast as shit. And then you have, you know, Tyler Lockett. You have Carson. Russ is obviously cooking. They're letting Russ cook, okay?
That's why I think it makes sense.
You're interrupting me, Andrew.
I'm just saying. He's cooking.
He is cooking, but he's cooking with what he's got, right? Which is perfectly fine. AB has had issues off the field, right? I mean, that's one of the main drawbacks of AB. He complains about not getting enough touches, not getting enough receptions. He's toxic in the locker room. These are things that have come out with AB. Why would you roll the dice? Like, to me, the risk is not worth the reward for AB and the Seahawks. If you're a team like, okay, I know I just said the Ravens, I would roll the dice because we need help. We obviously need help on our offensive game. The Seahawks do not need help right now. They need help on their defense.
On the side of him being a toxic teammate, he really didn't even get that title at all. Like, he used to be known as the humble guy until just that year before he freaked out on the Steelers. And a lot of people say that that was the hit from Vontaze Burfict. You know what I mean?
And
that could very well, that could be. But that aside, that's the only time he started kind of acting out, being like, I want this and I want that and I want to make sure that I'm getting the ball. Okay. Maybe you chalk that up to he just wasn't getting all the coaching staff and he wanted to change. He was on the same team for like 8 years. Then he goes to the Raiders. Doesn't want to be on the Raiders.
Then the Patriots. Well, let's continue this journey because
seriously,
then he played for two other teams, the Raiders and the Patriots, and they didn't want anything to do with him. I mean, the Patriots cut him.
Part of that
after
was
two games.
Part of that was that game. Sexual assault allegation, which no one's talking about, by the way. That hasn't come. That hasn't gone through yet. I mean, again, we talked about this, I think, a couple months ago. If that is true, obviously, no place in the league for that guy. But that happens all the time.
Innocent until proven guilty, though. That's how the justice system works. So let's not forget that.
Well, and you know, and it's like part of the thing that AB was so upset about was when he got his suspension, he was happy. He said, this means that they looked at it and they made their decision. So, you know, I get it. If the fact that he was in a limbo for so long was the part that upset him the most. When it comes to pure talent, if you take AB at his peak and Dez at his peak, you're taking AB.
It's not even close.
Right, and AB.
Close. AB at his peak was the best receiver the game has ever seen.
What do you expect?
The best receiver in the league.
Yeah, he was.
I don't want to get Jerry Rice fanboys angry at me.
But I mean, he was like, him and Julio to me were like the guys who were fighting for the title at in their like era, and now, what do you think is his? If say he goes to the Seahawks, what do you expect from him for the season? Assuming he plays the rest of the season.
I mean, I picked him up. I've already picked him up in one of my fantasy leagues.
I got him in three.
Because, yeah, I know you do. I know you do, Andrew. But the one I got him in was the terrible Amari Cooper for Todd Gurley trade, the shotgun at 8 a.m. league. So I dropped Tyler Eifert and Mecole Hardman. Fuck them both for getting me zeros last week and having me shotgun at 8 a.m. So I got rid of them. I did pick up Sanders because, okay, Michael Thomas is not playing again this week. I don't know if he's hurt or what, or if he's just punching people and continuing to get suspensions.
He apparently has a hamstring strain.
Is he ever going to play again? I don't know. But I'm
wondering that.
I picked up Sanders just in case he doesn't, because Sanders has been putting up numbers with Thomas being sidelined. And then I just picked up AB. I said, well, like, if it's the Seahawks, great. If it's another team, great. He's one of the best receivers at his peak. And even when he was with the Patriots, he looked good. I mean, he's always looked good, right?
The guy gets touchdowns.
It's always been off the field. Problems.
He's not even a physical specimen. I mean, he's a shorter guy.
He's 5'10".
He's pretty quick, but he's not like the fastest guy. Where he made his money is he is one of the best receivers off the line of scrimmage ever.
Right.
And it's like, and if he still has that, he's going to be an asset to any team that he... Here's the one team that I thought also made sense, but I don't know if they would deal with it. I think
the Ravens.
I was going to say the Packers.
Yeah, the Packers.
The Packers need a 1-2 punch at the wide receiver position, and Aaron Rodgers would love to cook with that. But I don't think that'll happen. They didn't get him any help in the offseason. There's no way they're going to go out and get AB.
Yeah, I think AB, when and if he returns, he'll be a very good asset for any team. I was just questioning the Seahawks' decision to go after an offensive guy as opposed to a defensive guy when they clearly need defensive help. But that's it.
The other teams that I think.
Go ahead. I'm just going to wrap the bow on this, but you.
Well, the other offensive teams I think that make sense would be the Texans. Texans need a wide receiver real bad.
Texans are trash. Texans are. AB's not going to go to the Texans.
Well, I mean, because you touched on this.
I said that as if he has like buying power. Like, I'm not going to go to the Texans.
Right.
Sure, AB will go wherever any team wants. Like, will accept him.
Right, but your one point was like, you know, he wants to be the number one guy, and that's like his problem. So I mean, going to the Texans, at least he'd know like I'm the guy, you know.
Right. I don't know how important winning a Super Bowl is to him. I know he doesn't have one yet, so it very well could be the Seahawks are his main target because they have a really good chance at going.
Plus like they could get Josh Gordon might come back too.
Yeah, could you imagine them having AB, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. Yeah.
That'd be nuts. That'd be cool. That'd be cool like you're in the league, but
the Golden State Seahawks.
Yeah, Kevin Durant's gonna sign with them actually.
Oh man. Okay, so that wraps a nice little bow. AB over Dez. We're both in agreement on that. AB, you won AB. I'm sure if Dez works out for the Ravens, I'll be happy as a clam.
If Dez, when he was throwing the fit right when the Cowboys dropped him, if he would have moved to the slot instead of saying, I could still play outside, if he'd have moved to the slot, the dude would probably still be playing fucking today. All he had to do was Larry Fitzgerald. That was it.
Yeah. I'm just laughing because I've tried to leave this conversation like 3 or 4 times and you keep drawing me back in. I'm done talking about AB and Dez. We're wrapping a bow. We're tying a bow.
So the Giants play the Eagles.
Yes. We are recording
right
this
now.
Like, shut up. We are recording this like we always do before the Thursday night game. And then we come back and we talk recap of that game. And then we talk preview of the Sunday games. So that's what we're going to do again. I mean, we do this every week. So if you listen to us, you should know the format by now.
Right. We don't have to explain it to you.
Yeah. In fact, I'm going to cut that out. I'm going to cut that explanation that I just did. It's more work for me, sure, but I'm done.
But you're all about that.
Yeah, apparently.
I bet on soccer over the. Wow, we can talk about that later.
Yeah, look, let's focus on Thursday night because the game is like in 20 minutes. So the Giants versus the Eagles. The Giants are +5 underdogs.
Yeah.
They were +3.5. Then they were +4. Then they were +4.5. And now they're all the way up to 5-point underdogs against the Eagles. Andrew, explain that to me.
So the Eagles put up 28 points against the Ravens.
That's it. You can stop right
there. No. They also got back.
Andrew, you can
stop
right there.
They got their all-pro guard back as well today.
Okay, but let's
look at it. He's been injured.
Okay, but they also lost Zach Ertz, Miles Sanders.
Zach Ertz wasn't doing anything anyway. Now, Miles Sanders is a big one.
Yeah. So that just explained. Look, what you just said, you should have stopped after the Ravens. The reason why the Eagles are favored by so many points right now is because they came 2 points away from tying the Ravens. You know, that is it. Okay? That is the only reason why everyone
is taking
the Eagles.
I will shotgun
bet
this game with you.
I am not doing... No, because guess what? We have a shotgun bet.
Look, no, I know we do.
One shotgun bet in play at a time.
That's coward's talk.
And also, I'm not going to shotgun bet. If I was like super confident about something, then
I would.
How
confident
like,
are you in like, the Giants?
On a scale from 0 to the Ravens beating the Steelers, I'm...
okay. Like, what a scale.
I'm like a 5. I'm so
that,
confident
that has zero relevance based on the scale that you. Anyway, I say bet Eagles. Although I don't know if I would bet it because I'm pretty confident in the Eagles.
Would you hold on? Would you bet the Eagles spread or the money line? Because those are two very different things.
Well, I'd take Eagles money line, but
okay. Well, I'm saying Giants spread. So why don't you do spread with me? What spread would you take? Would you take the Giants? I had them at 4.5. So would you? I'll even give you the new 0.5. addition to that spread. Would you take the Giants at +5 or would you take the Eagles at -5?
I'll take the Eagles at -5.
Okay, now we have a shotgun bet.
We're shotgun betting that?
No, I'm not shotgunning a beer.
I'm about to take the Eagles alternate spread here.
Oh, Andy and his alternate spreads.
Honestly, this one scares the shit.
A tale as old as time.
I might not take it.
What is it? Don't just blabber there without saying values.
So it is 11.5. I can't take it. I just can't do it.
What's the odds?
+235.
That's not even that good.
It's
if it was like
good.
+500, I'd take it.
500. I would have done it for 3, I think.
Dude, are you kidding me? Plus.
They get DeSean Jackson back tonight as well.
Yeah, DeSean Jackson's back. That is true. They got the deep ball.
You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to drop a little morsel on this game.
Do it. I have Giants +5.
It's done.
How much you bet, you puss?
I just put $5 on it.
The over-under on tonight's game
44?
Is 44.
And a half.
And a, yeah, thanks. Okay. Yes. 44 and a half.
That's William Hill. I'm sorry.
No, it's also DraftKings. You interrupted me.
I do that.
I'm the over-under guy.
Are you? Are you the over-under guy? When
did
we start assigning all these things?
I'm the spreads guy. I'm the intro guy. I'm the over-under guy. I'm just the guy.
I will say, the only spreads I bet on are alternate spreads. Otherwise, I'm just a moneyline guy. I like the value.
Yeah, you are a little slut for the value, which I can't blame you for. I do like alternate spreads too. If I am very confident in a matchup going a certain way, the thing is, I'm on a scale from 1 to the Ravens beating the Chiefs in the playoffs. I'm about a 6.5 on the Giants.
Would you be sad? Never mind.
No, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I know the answer is yes, but like if the Ravens lost first round of the playoffs again,
I'd be so sad.
You'd be sad, but I'm just
I would
like,
be so melancholy. Here's what I'd do, Andrew. Wait, was this your question? Was that the main question?
Yeah, that was the main question.
I would be so melancholy, Andrew, that I would go straight to the Home Depot and go to their ceiling fans collection, pick out the biggest, strongest one, buy it. I wouldn't set it up. I would just have it in the corner of my room, and it would be looking at me, and I'd be looking at it, and I would just save it there. And then if they lose next year, first round of the playoffs, which would be 4 years in a row, then I'm killing myself.
You know, it's kind of funny. Very responsible of you to buy a strong, heavy fan because, like, you know, you could have bought a cheap one and then not only would you have killed yourself hanging from the fan, but you'd have left a huge mess for whoever found that.
Right.
Because it would have probably just come out of the ceiling.
And I'm also anticipating me getting really super fat between now and killing myself. So I would just
for every eat a bunch of shit. You eat 100 cheeseburgers.
I would just eat a bunch of shit. I would just drink all the alcohol. I would just be a fat fucking slob. So it would have to handle my new body.
Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that. I would hope that that the Ravens. What if they just don't make the playoffs? What's better?
That's a good question, actually. Because I don't want to be dubbed the team that loses in the playoffs. Because if you don't make the playoffs, people kind of forget. Right? They're like, what? Did you even make the playoffs? I can't remember. Like, did the Bears make the playoffs last year? No, I don't remember. But if you are consistently known as the team that loses in the first round of the playoffs every single year, that is way worse.
Yeah, maybe. But now I'm thinking of like, okay, LeBron's been to the finals a lot, but he's only like won 4 of them. And a lot of people go, hey,
no,
he's got
but that's
a lot
okay
of
because
losses in the finals.
No. That's okay because he's actually won some of them. If you win some of them, that's okay. If you consistently do the same thing and you're stuck in this repetitive Groundhog's Day circle of just the same result, I mean, the definition of sanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. That is worse. If we went to the playoffs.
I got one for you.
Okay.
One Super Bowl win ever.
Yeah,
for your
team. Well, we already have two.
I'm just saying, like, you get to pick one of these. One Super Bowl win, never ever making it there again, or 10 Super Bowl losses, not a single win. What is better for your franchise?
Well, obviously the team, the scenario where I get the Super Bowl win. What kind of Sophie's choice is this? This was terrible.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because you're like, I don't think it's that easy because, you know, like winning a Super Bowl it's priceless. It's great. But I mean, then you're like, okay, it's a 1 year wonder. You never make it back to the Super Bowl ever. But 10 Super Bowl trips, like that's impressive. Even if you don't win. I mean, I know it's not great to never win a Super Bowl.
Andrew,
but
no.
I'm just,
No.
You're making it to the Super Bowl. How hard is it to make it to the Super Bowl?
It doesn't matter. No one cares.
That
about
is so not true. I just blew up my mic screaming
true, dude.
At you.
No. Absolutely, it's true. Look at Buffalo. Buffalo went to the Super Bowl 4 times in the 90s. Okay?
Sure.
They never won. Okay? Green Bay went to the Super Bowl like forever ago with Aaron Rodgers, and they won 1 time. What team is better in NFL history? What team's better?
What,
Aaron Rodgers team or the Buffalo Bills?
You can't say a
team
because teams in the NFL change.
Would you rather have Aaron Rodgers' career of just going once, winning a ring, and that's it, or being, I can't remember his fucking name, who was the quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, and they went 4 times. God damn it. The 4 falls,
you know,
of Buffalo.
Yeah, no, I'm going to say that I understand your point, but I'm like, a franchise would definitely, I think, I don't know. Going to the Super Bowl is hard. I mean, imagine every single season, though, because you don't know you're not going to win, but every single season for 4 years in a row, you're like, we are in the Super Bowl. Like, that excitement of the postseason and the regular season, like, that's awesome.
Jim Kelly is the quarterback I'm thinking of.
All right. You want to give predictions for this game?
Yes. I have the Giants. I have the Giants +5. I did not bet the Giants money line, but I do have them winning. That's me being a pussy. I'm okay with admitting it. I got smoked last week in all aspects of betting, so I'm taking it easy.
Not
this
true.
Week.
You won the.
I won the Cardinals. You're right. Yeah. You're right. I won the Cardinals money line and under, but still, I'm still trying to dig out of that hole. So I have the Giants +5. I have the over 44.5. I have the over. I'm going to say Giants. I feel like I always put something in the 20, so I'm going to do something different. I'm going to say Giants 35, Eagles 33. I don't even know how easy. I don't even know if 33 is a practical
That's
number.
Possible.
I'm doing it then. 33.
I'm going to take Eagles 28, Giants 17.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big one. That's a big spread.
Let's go.
Okay.
Whoosh.
Well, we'll see.
Is that what we do now?
Yeah, yeah. The transition is whoosh. I have zero confidence that I'm going to be right on that score. But whatever. Whoosh. All right, Andy, I should have taken you on that shotgun bet.
Well, here's the funny thing. The bet I originally offered, and you were scared about it, and that was the one I would have won. And then you're like, I'll only do the spread. And then,
well,
and then you cowered out of that, too. And then
No. I said,
stick to your guns, maybe.
Andrew, we literally recorded a few hours ago. I said, I have the Giants cover. You can't just take the favorite to win money line and like throw your dick around and expect to be a showboating hot dog and expect me to shotgun a beer.
You can't talk about a team covering the spread it would be the easiest thing in the world and then go, yeah, but there's not a chance for them to actually win the game.
No, I thought they were going to win. I said it. I said I thought the Giants were going to win, but I also said I didn't bet on the Giants to win. I bet on them to cover. That's a smart move. I even said it might be a pussy move, but it's a smart move, and it ended up being the difference between making money and losing money because, as we all know, well, if you paid any attention to last night, the Eagles just won 22-21. The Giants blew an 11-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Fact checker.
Let me tell you something. New York is on a fucking hot streak. Buffalo's lost two in a row. What's that?
Evan Ingram lost that game for the Giants.
You think so?
Did you not watch the game?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, but I mean, I'm just, there are other things in that game that were, I don't know. I think the Giants are bad.
Both teams are bad.
But like the Giants are playing with their whole core roster minus Saquon Barkley. The Eagles are playing with practice squad players as they are every fucking year.
Sure. I mean, Saquon Barkley is a pretty, their run game. Hold on. The Giants' run game is pretty much obsolete at this point. They are so bad. So to just be like, oh, well, they're playing without, you know, maybe the number one running back in the league and their run,
okay,
which
but,
totally
player,
just makes
though,
up their run game.
Well, sure, but one player, though, I'm just saying, like, the Eagles in general, they didn't have their starting running back. They don't have either of their starting tight ends.
If you take the best player on any team and you take them away, chances are they will be significantly worse.
Panthers are 2-1 without Christian McCaffrey. I'm just saying, yeah, they're gonna be worse. But the Eagles are hurting way worse in the injury department.
The difference between the Panthers and the Giants is that Mike Davis is actually a good running back. Freeman,
yeah.
Lewis, they're not
Freeman
good running
even
backs.
Left the game. He got hurt. He hurt his ankle.
Well, exactly. They're not good running replacements.
All I want you to tell me is
Mike Davis can actually replace Christian McCaffrey. That's the difference.
I don't think that's true.
What do you?
You can't replace him. He can play in
his
place.
He has been
replacing. He can do well.
Have you looked at his stats?
Yeah, but he's not doing Christian McCaffrey.
I'm just saying he can replace him. And you even said they're 2-1 without him.
They are 2-1 without him. They lost to the Bears though, which I mean that's bad.
I mean I don't know. The Bears are 5-1. I don't. I'm tired of pretending like the Bears aren't good anymore. It's costing me a lot of money in the long run.
Dude, okay, here's the deal. I don't want to say that the Bears are bad either, but have you watched their quarterbacks try to play football?
Yeah, their quarterback.
It seriously looks awful, so I don't know what's going on there. Are they
Andrew,
really
I don't know how the Bears keep winning games. I don't know how the Bears keep winning games. All I know is every time I bet against the Bears, they win. Every time I bet that they're not going to make the playoffs, they win another game. I'm digging myself a Bears hole right now just by betting against them, and they keep winning. I don't understand it.
Who do the
they
Bears
don't
even
play good.
The Bears play Monday Night Football against the Rams, and they're going to beat the Rams.
They probably will. I am not
betting. The Rams are frauds.
They are. The Rams are huge frauds. They barely beat the Giants. They just lost to the 49ers. I'm done with the Rams. But what I'm saying is I'm not betting against the Bears. Okay. I'm sure you don't, but if you could quickly get up, who do the Bears play after the Rams? Like what are the Bears' next five games?
Well, we can do that very easily, actually. It looks like the Bears have, what is that? Is it they probably have a bye.
Maybe.
Do not have a bye.
Do you need some stalling music?
They play the Saints in week 8.
Okay, that.
So that's. I think they'll lose
the Saints.
Loss.
I think they'll lose the Saints, but that's not. I don't know. Michael Thomas, is he going to be back? Woof.
No idea.
All right.
Then they play the Titans.
They'll lose to the Titans.
They should lose to the Titans. They very much should. And then Monday Night Football again. They play the Vikings, who are bad.
They'll beat the Vikings.
But it's divisional.
Doesn't matter.
And then week 11, who do they play here? That's their bye, is week 11.
Okay. So until the bye, they'll probably go 2-2. I think they're going to beat the Rams and the Vikings. They'll probably lose to the Titans and the Saints. Quick math, Andrew, quick math. That would make them 7-3? 7-3. Up until now, their bye week.
Then they take the bye, and when they come back, they play Green Bay on Monday or Sunday Night Football.
They'll lose that game. So maybe.
They get a whole week. They get an extra week to prepare.
I don't care. They'll lose to the Packers.
If they are, say they go 4-0, which they won't. Say they go 4-0 between now and their bye, they're 9-1. Would you still take the Packers?
Yeah, no, I would still take the Packers that game, unless something happens and someone's hurt on the Packers that significantly affects their team. But
the Packers did. The Packers looked bad against the Bucks.
Yeah, I know. You're allowed one bad game. Look, the Ravens didn't play that well against the Chiefs. They're still a great team. The Packers didn't play that well against the Bucks. Guess what? The Bucks didn't play well against the Bears. You're allowed one bad game. I'm not going to say you can't play a perfect season. All right.
That's not unless true. People have done it.
I know. Unless you're the no. One team has done it, and they're the Dolphins. That's it.
Dolphins are people isn't team.
Okay. Plural.
People make up a team.
You're right.
Peacock,
okay.
All right.
Okay. One team is done in history, but everyone else, you're allowed one bad game. One bad game. So
last thing I want to say about the Giants game is, man, Daniel Jones, you can't trip there. You cannot trip there. It's just not good. It's not a good look.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. He tripped over his fucking.
He got excited. He
dong.
Fell over.
I don't know. If it was Nick Foles,
it was a great run,
or Teddy Bridgewater, or a quarterback that is known to have a
Teddy
huge
Bridgewater
dick,
cannot run that fast.
Well, I'm just saying, if it was a quarterback that we know has a huge dick from inside sources, that would have been hilarious because you would
Larry
just blame
Fitzgerald.
The trip. You would just Larry Fitzgerald. Follow us, Bet Bath Beyond
what
on Instagram.
Quote.
Look, it was his quote, not mine. We quoted Larry Fitzgerald, for those of you that don't know. We quoted ESPN, interviewed him.
Larry Legend.
He talked about coronavirus. He talked about being healthy. And he also talked about his massive horse cock. We have the quote on our Instagram page, Bet Bath Beyond, at Bet Bath Beyond. Follow
us. Did you know Larry Fitzgerald in his career has more tackles than he does drops?
I don't know why you said real stat. And you've already laid that stat on us before. I remember that.
Tell
stat.
Me that it's
don't
not
just
impressive.
Recycle
and
stats.
Tell me that it's not impressive, and then I will stop giving people that stat.
I don't even know where the fuck we are in this tangent universe that we're in.
So the first
Let's
game for
back.
Sunday is the Steelers.
Wait,
with the Giants-Eagles.
Eagles win 22-21. I made money tonight. Hold on. I made money tonight because the Giants covered that 4.5. Really, 5, Andrew. I gave you 5 spread for that shotgun bet, and you didn't take it. The under. The under.
Oh, yeah. It was close.
It was close, but like third quarter, I was like, this thing's dead. It was like 10-7 still in the third quarter. I was like, there's no way. It actually made a good comeback. It just didn't hit that 44.5 that we wanted. It's okay. I didn't bet on the total. I only bet on the Giants covering.
I dropped 5 on that alternate spread. Boy, was that rough the whole game. Although after the first 3 snaps of the game, I was like, there's no way that alternate spread hits.
Yeah. I mean, I would have told you. I told you right before the game started that the spread was not.
$5 is whatever. I just wanted to see what would happen.
Should have taken the shotgun bet, pussy.
Steelers, Titans. What do you got?
Battle of the undefeated teams. Okay, hold on, Andrew. Hold on.
I'm not going anywhere.
Oh, good. What are the odds? What are the lines? We are a sports betting podcast, for God's sakes.
I'm not going to tell anyone the lines.
You don't have the William Hill app, do you?
No, I actually deleted it because I'm done betting.
Okay, here we go.
No, I'm kidding. I got it.
Oh, my God.
Titans are 1-point favorites. Over-under is 50.5.
Nice. So I am so done with the Steelers being an undefeated team. I'm so done with them. The Titans should beat them. I have the Titans beating the Steelers, certainly by 1 point. Now, here's the thing. I think this game is going to be under.
I'm listening.
I think this
under 50?
No, it's over. It's going to be over 50.5.
Hammer the over. I'm doing that too.
Okay. Whew. Okay. I almost got lost there, but I'm still alive. Over the 50.5. Yeah, I feel good about that. I got Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, good.
My fantasy. Remember? Yeah. Remember, I was a week too late. I picked up I had Gardner, and I chose to leave Ryan Tannehill on the waivers. And then shit happened. I lost. I had a shotgun of beer at 8 a.m., blah, blah, blah. I'm learning from my mistake. I dropped Gardner. He's trash. I'm not going back to that good looking mustache West gunslinging man anymore. I'm on to Ryan Tannehill.
All right, and that's good.
Thank you. Okay, so yeah, and not only that, I'm starting him over Drew Brees this week. What do you think about that?
I would also do that, unless Michael Thomas is back.
He's not, though.
They haven't announced that, though, have they?
What? Yeah.
I mean, they said he has a hamstring injury and he didn't practice, but they haven't said they haven't ruled him out yet.
No, he's gone. He's done.
Okay.
He's Fungazi. He's Fugazi. He's
no, no one listen to this man. He's giving you false fantasy information. We don't know the status of that man's hamstring.
Okay, so Titans. Wait.
I have Steelers by a million.
You're such an idiot.
I'm going to take Steelers.
So
I'm going to take
dumb.
The. I'm going to take
so
the even. I'm going to take Steelers even. And I'm going to take the over on that.
You're so dumb, dude. Like, are you
want to bet it? You want to bet it with me?
Yeah, I do. I want to bet it. Come on. I keep hitting these little $10 bets we have on this podcast.
Yeah, I'll take 10 on Steelers.
Okay, I got 10 on Titans. There you go. Bada bing, bada boom.
All right, Washington football team.
Yep, moving on. Cowboys and the R words, formerly known as the R words. The Washington football team is a -1 point spread favorite. Can you believe that? Against the Cowboys.
This game on William Hill is -110 money line for both, and it's pick for points. Like it's 100% dead even.
It's like I don't even want to fucking touch you. You choose who's the favorite.
Yeah,
that's what William Hill's doing.
46 point over under. Give me the under.
Yeah. I don't trust either of these teams to put up decent numbers.
I'll take the Cowboys to win it.
Sure.
But dude, here's the thing: if the Washington football team, I don't know, this could be up in the air, obviously. But Washington, all they have to do is win, and if they win, they're tied to the Cowboys in division, even.
Yeah, that's the NFC East for you.
Yeah,
that's the dumpster fire of the NFC.
I mean,
East.
Eagles will still be leading because they'll have one tie, so they'll have like one less loss, but still.
One last thing about the Eagles: why can't they figure out a solid 2-point conversion play? I don't understand that. They are like 0-7 on 2-point conversion.
We're looking at the
I just made that number
special.
Up. But
well, they ran the Philly special, and I think that's their only play. They should just run that every time.
It was just every time I watch them line up for a 2-point conversion play, they look lost. They look terrible. It doesn't make any sense for a team that goes that's as aggressive as they are. Peterson like likes to go for it on fourth downs. I don't understand how you don't have solid 2-point conversion plays in your playbook, but I mean they're bad at they're terrible at 2-point conversions. They're so bad.
I'll take Cowboys. Gun to my head.
I will
but
too.
Washington could. Washington could win it. So
I mean, yeah. I mean, don't bet this game. Just don't. Why would you bet this game? Like, what pleasure?
If you need a game to fill out your 10-game parlay.
I mean,
I'm just saying. All right, Bills, Jets. Jets will lose. Bills will win.
Yeah, but how much? That's always the question.
Oh, the
when
Bills
it comes
will win by 1,000.
Right,
the spread
well,
right now is 12.5.
Yep. So are you taking the Bills, 12.5?
Yes.
I am too. Over
I think
under?
I don't know if the Jets will score a point, dude.
That's why I'm going to take the under for 45.
Yeah,
I genuinely don't think the Jets score a point. If they score, maybe a touchdown.
No. If they score anything, it's going to be a field goal. And here's the thing. The Jets have gone 2 weeks, I believe, scoreless. If they go 3 weeks scoreless, I don't know how you don't fire Adam Gase. I really don't. The guy who has he's ridden the coattails of like Peyton Manning, 55 touchdown season, one of the best offensive games we've ever seasons we've ever seen. That's what he hangs his hat on. Three straight games of 0 points. Yeah, get that fucking guy out of there. I'm so done with it. Mediocrity of the Jets locker room is atrocious.
It's almost like you wrote an entire blog piece about this.
Yeah, it is. B3TSports.com. Go check it out. I just scream it into the fucking void about Adam Gase.
The case for Gase.
The case against Gase. Thank you very much. Fuck that.
Whatever. Hey, Andrew.
And I want him to hear it.
Hey, Andrew, can you at least get a fucking profile picture for the site?
Yeah, it's going to be Adam Gase.
Just get a fucking profile. I don't understand. You're a co-founder on this blog site that we have, and you don't even have a goddamn profile pic.
I like to... Yeah, but here's the thing. I have to remain a little anonymous because everyone else has fake names and fake pictures. I can't be putting my real name and my real picture up there. So I have to figure something out.
Just stop. Just fucking post a goddamn picture.
So I'll take the Bills at 12.5.
I think I'll also take the Bills at 12.5, and I'll take the under... 45.
Same here. Panthers Saints. Now I'm kind of interested in this game. I haven't seen the spread on this one. Let me see.
Oh, don't worry. I have it. No. My turn.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
My turn. Saints -7.5 point favorites. That's large. That is large.
I think I would take the Panthers to cover that.
I think so too. In fact, I know so. Definitely take the Panthers to cover that. Wait, I don't understand. Since when did the Saints become a powerhouse team where you're going to say they're going to win by over a touchdown against the Panthers?
Now, here's where things get interesting, though.
Michael Thomas isn't even playing.
That's the thing. They don't – well, no, that's what I'm saying. They don't know if he's playing or not. If he is playing, what do you think – that? Do you think that spread's appropriate?
To be honest, Andrew, how are we supposed to know if Michael Thomas is even going to be good when he comes back? For real. No. Hold on.
Do you think he's a bad wide receiver?
What?
Do you think he's a bad wide receiver?
Now, why would you immediately jump to the other end of the spectrum when I say something like that?
That's a legitimate question. I'm asking, do you think he... I mean, I'm not saying horrible, but I mean, do you think he's overhyped is what I'm asking you?
I mean, I think when he's healthy and he's playing consistently, he's a top five wide receiver. The problem is he hasn't played since week one. And the problem is he keeps having problems on and off the field, both with his hamstring and with his fucking teammates, and he's punching them in the practice. So what I'm saying is he's not consistent right now, both on the field and off the field for various reasons. So why would I, one, take him into account for the spread, and two, I mean, if you have him on fantasy, I guess put him in your flex, but at the same time...
Well, here's the thing. If you're in fantasy and you have Michael Thomas, you took him in the first round.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Right. But so what I'm saying is, I mean, and if he's playing at all and you don't start him, I mean, if you've been suffering in fantasy, this is just obviously fantasy talk, not in real football, but you got to play your studs. That's why it's so hard. Like when you get to these guys like Julio, where he went off last week, but Julio's older. He's up there in age. That offense is with Matt Ryan. It's shaky sometimes. And you have to try to make a decision like, is he getting too old? Do I need to start like benching him? Obviously, Julio showed that that's not the case. There are some wide receivers like Emmanuel Sanders a couple years ago. You were wondering that, like, is he still got it or do I have to bench him? You have to start making those decisions. Michael Thomas is really young. He's a centerpiece for that offense. If he's healthy, like from their standard, you got to play him. And I have to assume that if they want him to play, because he's such a key aspect of that offense, he's healthy enough. He's good to go. I would say that should factor into your spread.
By 7.5.
Well, like we said, we think 7.5 is a large spread, but let's say just Michael Thomas is playing and is healthy, so you could guarantee that. Do you think 7.5 is too big or too small?
I think it's still too big. I really do.
It's still too big, even with Michael Thomas?
Yeah, I do. Because again,
hammer the Panthers then.
This goes, I'm going to be hammering the Panthers spread. Not the money line.
Nah, money lines, that's a... Yeah.
I mean, it's almost +300 for me, but
it is +300 for me.
Yeah. So I'm not going to hammer the Panthers money line, but I'm going to be hammering the Panthers spread. And even with Michael Thomas, what I'm saying is, who knows if he's 100% healthy? Because they just had him missing practice, and they've been talking about his hamstring for 5-6 weeks now. So even if he plays, I understand.
Well, he's been out with an ankle. His hamstring is new, which scary to me, because that's a second injury. That's important to talk about.
It's important to talk about, but it's not going against my main point. My main point is he's not healthy. He's not 100%. So whether it's his ankle, whether it's his hamstring, I don't care what part of the body it is, he hasn't been healthy for 5+ weeks. You can't just expect him to be back at 100% just like that. And the fact that he already missed practice this week should tell you that. And I understand that if you took him in the first round, sure, play him, whatever. Like, I don't really care. But the fact that you're going to factor the spread so much,
I'm just asking. You're the one who's freaking out about Michael Thomas. You know what I think? I think that you are in love with Michael Thomas, and I said his name, and now you're freaking out. You're a little upset. I think I triggered something in you, and I'm sorry.
Maybe. Over-under is 51.
Take the over.
Yeah, I would take the over. I'd take the over. Let me tell you about Michael Thomas. Okay, this is the reason why.
No. Are we doing this?
No. I'm gonna say it. I'm in a fantasy league. This is where I traded Todd Gurley for Amari Cooper for Todd Gurley. Now I have Todd Gurley. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Now I've been talking to someone else in the league, and they have Julio and Michael Thomas. First two picks, they picked Michael Thomas and they picked Julio,
which is phenomenal.
They have shit for running back. Let me just tell you, they played Devontae Freeman tonight. They started Devontae Freeman in one of their running back slots. Devontae Freeman didn't even get a point. He got like 0.8 points tonight. Okay, that's how bad this guy is struggling with his running backs. Okay, meanwhile, I have Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones, and Todd Gurley, and my wide receivers are less to be desired, but wide receivers are way easier to fill from the waivers than a running back. We all know
they are. Wide receiver twos are like super easy to fill, like throughout your through waivers the entire season.
Right. So he wanted to trade me basically Michael Thomas for Jones, Aaron Jones, straight up. And I said, this was maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I was like, no, you're crazy.
Now here's the thing: you can go back to that guy now and try to get Michael Thomas for a little bit cheaper now, because you'd be like, he's still not playing.
No. You're on the right wavelength as me, because that's what I did. So I denied him Aaron Jones. I was like, look, I'm not doing Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones, he wanted to say, like, look, he has that little first round, like, regret or remorse. It's like, hey, I took Michael Thomas first round. I need to get something really, really good for him. And the fact of the matter is, he's been a clown for 5 to 6 weeks, you know? He's not giving any points. He's not putting any points. So until he's back on the field and putting up consistent numbers, then we'll talk. So anyway, I denied the Aaron Jones thing. So then I was like, well, do you want Todd Gurley? Todd Gurley, I know he's got that reputation of injury prone, and he's a little bit older. He's not even that old. He's like 25, 26. And I was like, do you want to do Todd Gurley for Aaron Jones? I mean, Todd Gurley for Michael Thomas. And he's like, no. And I was like, maybe.
Try to bundle Todd Gurley and somebody else, like another running back.
Well, then I was going to maybe do Julio Jones for Todd Gurley. But the fact of the matter is, this guy is so set on his first two picks being wide receivers. He will not budge unless it's like Aaron Jones or Josh Jacobs. And Aaron Jones and Josh Jacobs are consistent running backs that are going to get you double-digit points every week. So can't replace that off waivers. You just can't.
So that is an actual strategy that some people do. It's like called zero running back, where you take three top wide receivers, picks 1, 2, and 3, and then you backfill your roster with guys who, in the event of an emergency, could become the guy. Like, for example, and I actually tried this year. This is the first year I've ever tried it. And I went Michael Thomas in the first, DeAndre Hopkins in the second. And then I ended up grabbing Jonathan Taylor in the fourth. He was my first running back in the fourth round. That worked out pretty well for me just because Marlon Mack's ankle exploded. But if it wouldn't have, I would have probably been in trouble this year. And I got done with my draft. I really didn't love it. It's turned out okay. I'm 3-3 so far, and I haven't even had Michael Thomas.
That's because Marlon Mack destroyed his
right, ankle. Right. But that's what I'm saying. You feel like, for example, I have Giovanni Bernard, who's like a pretty okay running back. But if Joe Mixon never can play, like if he gets hurt, you have a starting running back, even if he's not going to put up 35 points. You got a guy who's probably going to give you 12 points. So it's something that's startable, but it's not like top tier. And again, that's just a strategy that people have been trying this year. I tried it. I didn't love it, but the season's not over yet. I will give an update to that later on.
Sure. All I know is I feel good with my team. I'm gonna keep working on this guy because he has Michael Thomas and Julio. Michael Thomas probably won't play this week. Even if he does, we'll see what he puts up as numbers. But his running backs, again, Devontae Freeman, 0.9, 0.8 points. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with that? White's his other running back.
James White, actually, if it's PPR, James White's not bad.
It's PPR. That's right.
Okay. So, Packers, Texans. Packers will win this by a landslide. Packers are 3.5-point favorites. I'm going to hammer that.
Yeah. 3.5 is too low. Too low.
57-point over under. I'm going to take over. I'm going to take the over.
I know. That's what Vegas wants. Look, that's what Vegas wants you to do. Vegas wants you to do that.
Of course it's what Vegas wants you to do.
I know. I'm going to keep my eye on this over-under because what I predict is going to happen is it's going to keep going up and up and up. You might even see it around the 58, 59.5 region. That's where I'm taking the under. If it stays 57, gun to my head, I'd take the under. I really would. 57 is a lot, man. 57 is a lot.
I'm taking the over.
I know.
Okay. Browns.
Packers minus 3.5, though. We're on the same page on that.
Browns bagels.
Oh, man. Okay, so AFC North. Division showdown. Game. Yep. Browns are minus 3.5 favorites. The over under is 50, which that's pretty good. Last time they played,
I'm gonna take the under.
I don't know, dude. Remember the last time they played? It was pretty high scoring. I'm pretty sure they hit that over 50.
I don't know. The Browns are so beat up. Like, OBJ doesn't look good. Landry has broken ribs. Baker is having rib issues. And I think the Bengals are going to be missing Joe Mixon, possibly. He missed practice today.
Yeah, that's a compelling argument.
It could. I mean, like, I'm thinking 25 points each, you know, to get the 50, but...
I'm going to take over. I'm taking over. Yeah. Both these defenses are terrible. All these people that you're talking about, they're still playing, right? OBJ's playing, Landry's playing.
Yeah, Baker's as of right now, playing. The only one I'm concerned about not playing would be Mixon because he didn't practice.
Well, look, but that's you got Giovanni Bernard. Look at this.
On my fantasy team. Honestly, I have him in a lot of leagues. But what I'm saying is it's the same as the Michael Thomas situation. Injured, missed practice, but they haven't said whether he's playing or not yet. So,
do you like the Browns at minus 3.5?
Yeah, I like the Browns minus 3.5. Baker, in an interview today, said 4-2 has never felt more like 0-6 in my whole life.
For real,
which is good. I mean, like, he's aware. He knows that they haven't been good wins.
For some reason, I know the Browns are 4-2, but they feel like they don't feel like an 0-6 team, but they feel like a Bengals. They feel like a 1-5 team, and the fact that they're still 4-2, for sure. I mean, they lost the Ravens first week of the season, and then they just lost the Steelers. Both divisional games, both really good teams. I wouldn't count them out yet. They'll probably get a wild card.
Lions, Falcons. Falcons are favored by 2.5. Over under 55. Give me the over. I'm hammering the Lions at plus 2.5.
What exactly?
I'm gonna take Lions money line at plus 120.
Exactly. Why are the Lions +2.5 underdogs. What is that all about?
Because it's at, it's in Atlanta probably.
Oh, wow. With the, all the cardboard cutouts in the stand.
Right.
I forgot about that.
I don't even think we have to talk about this game. Matthew Stafford's going to light him up. This is going to be Matthew Stafford's like really good game that people go, oh yeah, Matthew Stafford can play football, because he has not looked good this season. Like, he hasn't even looked like his old, like before he got injured. He just looks, I don't know what to call it. He looks lethargic.
Yeah, take look, Lions +2.5, fucking hammer that money line. It's +115 right now for me. So yeah, that, you know what? People are gonna be hammering the Lions, so probably by Sunday it might even be close to even with the spread.
Yeah,
I can see that being like a -1 Falcons, maybe even -1 Lions by the time Sunday rolls around, because people are going to be hammering the Lions. The over-under is 55. I'm going to take the over. Both defenses suck.
Yeah.
Wait, are you... So what are you going to do about the 55?
I'm taking over, I said.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Bucks, Raiders. This game's actually not on my sports book.
This is an interesting...
So it's not going to happen. They're not going to play this game.
Oh, okay. Just like the Falcons game.
That was so funny. For any of you who listened last week and heard that, I was so confident that I didn't say that. And then I started saying like, oh, I definitely said this. And we went back and played it. And I was like, there's no way that game even happens. Like a fucking idiot.
This game is not on DraftKings either. Andrew, what's happening right now?
Oh, okay. So this game was supposed to be at noon, and I think they moved it to 3:05. I don't know if that's...
It was supposed to be the Sunday night game. It was supposed to be the Sunday night game, I thought. And then They moved it forward.
Oh, I thought it was at noon. Okay, so maybe that's why. Either way... So
but it's because
maybe
the entire offensive line on the Raiders has COVID.
Oh, had quarantined, yeah.
And so everyone's joking, like, haha, like... Derek Carr is going to play with no center or no offensive lineman. Ha, ha, ha.
How's
but I don't know what,
any
but for real,
night?
What are they going to do? I guess practice squad, bench players, but yeah, I don't have these odds in DraftKings. So.
All right. Well, either who are you taking to win the game?
I'm taking the Bucks to win.
I'm taking the Bucks also.
But I want Josh Jacobs to have a game. Fuck,
he
I
will.
Hope this
I mean,
game
the, the Raiders will, I mean, they're committed to the run game. Although, if they don't have an offensive line, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with this offensive
Jaguars
line.
Jaguars, Chargers.
Fuck the Jags. I'm so done with the Jags. Hammer
Jaguars
the Chargers.
7.5-point underdogs. Give me that juicy over, 49. Give me the over.
Yeah, what about? I think I'm taking the Chargers -7.5. Fuck the Jags, dude. Seriously,
yeah,
fuck the Jags.
I'm
going to
take Chargers at -7.5.
I'm so done with the Jags. I have huge trust issues with the Jags right now.
Same, but the Chargers are also just 1-4.
True, but they almost beat the Chiefs and they almost beat the Saints. Those are quality losses.
No, they did.
Those are quality losses.
Sound like the fucking college football committee.
Quality losses. I look.
Listen, they lost to Auburn and Auburn's ranked 4th, so put them in the fucking bowl.
Plus, Justin Herbert is getting better the more he plays.
Every game
that he plays, he looks better and better. I'm taking Justin Herbert and the Chargers. -7.5. You know what? Do some alternate spread. Do -14. See what happens.
I would love to, but I can't.
See what happens.
They won't let me. They only show the alternate spreads the second that game's happening, or like if it's a primetime game.
William Hill is such trash.
It is. But don't worry, this weekend I'm getting my DraftKings.
Okay, 49ers, Patriots.
I want to take the Patriots here.
Dude, what was with them losing to the Broncos?
Great question. The Patriots are 2.5-point favorites. Over-under is 44. I'll take the over on that. I think I'm going to take the under on that. I changed my mind.
The under?
Yeah, I'm going to take the under.
43.5.
44.
-43. 3.5. That is pretty low, my friend.
It is low, but the Patriots hold people to very low scoring, and the Patriots also don't seem to score a lot themselves lately. And the only person that they can even throw to for San Francisco is Kittle, and the Patriots are going to take that away.
I'm taking over. That's just too low.
Patriots by 2.5.
I'd take the Patriots on that. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Broncos.
They
Chiefs.
Lost to the Broncos. Oh, that was bad. That was a bad, bad loss.
Yeah. Well, it was a bad loss. It was worse than that. It was a terrible loss.
Okay. Chiefs, Broncos. Chiefs minus 9.5 favorites. Over under is 46. I will take the Chiefs. Actually, let me rephrase that. I don't know about the Chiefs being good at covering the spread anymore. I really don't. Especially, I don't know, maybe it's because the Broncos just beat the Patriots and the Chiefs have been kind of closely winning some games. Like, I don't know.
Patrick Mahomes is playing different football. Patrick Mahomes is like, he's not throwing it and stretching the field every single play. He is checking down. He's hitting his second reads. Like, he's doing smart football, but it's going to make it a more controlled game.
I think I'm going to take Broncos to cover.
I think I'm going to take the Chiefs to cover at 9.5.
Yeah. I mean, I'll take the over as well. I'm not going to personally bet on this game. I mean, if I do, it might be a prop, but I don't think I'm going to take this 9.5 bullshit. It doesn't feel like nothing's really talking to me. Like, I can see the Chiefs covering by 9.5, but at the same time, with the Broncos beating the Patriots, and it's at the Broncos, right? So it's at Denver, Mile High City. You never know what happens. Like, I don't know. People can't breathe properly. I'm taking the Broncos, 9.5.
All right. I'm in if you're in.
All right. Are you? Because you just said the
no,
Chiefs.
No, I'm definitely
minus
not in. I'm taking
the Chiefs. Fuck you. Okay, Seahawks, Cardinals are a Sunday night matchup. Seahawks, minus 3.5. Although, Andrew, this is going to be a good game, I feel like.
I think it will also be a good game. I'm going to take the Cardinals to cover. 3.5. I'm going to take Seahawks to win, Cardinals to cover.
I don't think so. I think the Seahawks beat them. In fact, this might look like, I don't know. Alternate spread? Alt spread, maybe?
Maybe. Here's the thing. Over under 56. Give me that over. Seattle's defense is bad.
Seattle's defense is very bad. They've let up the most air yards in the whole NFL, at least for the first 5 weeks. I don't know.
It's either them or Dallas at this point. One of those two teams is giving up the most yards. The Cardinals should like perform well. I just think the Cardinals score points. That's just typically what they do. So I'll take them to cover.
I'm going to take Seahawks minus 3.5. I'm going to take the over at 56.
Okay. Bears Rams is the Monday night game.
All right. We kind of already talked about this. I'm taking the Bears to win.
I'm going to take Bears to win too. My odds are plus 230 for that.
Yeah.
They're 6-point underdogs, 45 over under.
DraftKings are plus 5.5, plus 200 money line. I'm hammering the Bears. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think the Bears win this game.
I just parlayed the Bears plus 230 and the Lions plus 120.
That's smart. That is a smart bet.
Let's go. This is for not this week, but next week even. It's just on my sports book, and I want to talk about it. It is the Jets Chiefs game. They've already posted the spread.
Okay.
What do you think the spread is on this game?
No joke. I'm thinking 17.
It is 22.
Oh my God. In fact, the first number that came to my head was 21, and I was like, don't be an idiot. And turns out that would have been super close.
It's football. And it is 2 weeks out technically, so I mean it's gonna fall a little bit probably as maybe unless the Jets go scoreless again. In that case, then it might even go up. But they're just trying to get people to bet right now. That is such a crazy bet.
That is crazy. I mean, what would you do right now?
If I had to, gun to my face, Chiefs
gun
cover
to your
minus
fucking
22.
Asshole.
Chiefs okay. Chiefs cover minus 22.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Jets are so bad. Jets are so bad.
They're terrible. Worst team in the NFL.
Okay, that is the.
If I'm Trevor Lawrence and the Chiefs or the Jets get the number one pick, I'm going back to college. I'm not kidding.
No, I know. There's been some really funny posts on that of people like inserting fake quotes from Trevor Lawrence being like, fuck that. I'm not. I mean, they
Trevor,
said the same
Trevor,
thing.
What are you going to do? He's like, I'll kill myself.
I'm going to go to Home Depot and buy a ceiling fan. Here's the thing. They did the same thing with Joe Burrow and Cincinnati. If the Jets are the number one pick, Trevor's going to go to New York. It's a big market team. You have like Broadway Joe Namath. Like,
God, what do you do with Sam Darnold?
You let him go like Josh Rosen when they picked up Kyler Murray.
You could trade him for something. You can get something.
Sure, whatever. I don't. He's dead. You demon suck. But here's the thing. I don't care.
If you're the Jets, so you have to commit to this. You have to trade Darnold like in the next couple weeks, because otherwise, if you wait until you have the number one pick and everyone knows you're going to draft Lawrence, no one's going to trade for Darnold. Like no one would even touch him. So you have to do it in the next like 3 weeks. Commit to the tank.
Sure.
Like the Cowboys would be a team that I'd be like, hey, look for Darnold if you want young talent. You know what I mean? Like if they're
the
looking
Vikings.
At Fitzmagic, though. The Vikings. Although I think every Vikings fan would be very upset if they got Darnold.
Yeah. I honestly don't see the Jets winning a game.
I will look for that prop bet today. Couldn't find it.
I don't see them winning. Okay, god damn it. I'm going to pull up the Jets schedule real quick. Okay. They play the Bills this week, like we already talked about. They play the Chiefs next week, which we already talked about. Then they play the Patriots. Then they play the Chargers. Then they play the Dolphins. Then they play the Raiders, Seahawks, Rams, Browns, Patriots. They do not win any of those games.
Beat the Browns.
No, they don't. They don't beat the Browns.
That would be the think about the narrative though. That would be the most Browns thing ever.
Maybe, but I don't. No, they're not going to beat the Browns. The Browns are 4-2. Unless
they're
something
gonna probably be.
Yeah, I know. I think they're going to be 0-16. I really do.
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, Adam Gase is the coach. Here's the thing: how long does Adam Gase last? I mean, if they're 0-10, does he get fired in the middle of the season? They're not going to go all season.
I don't know. I don't care about Adam Gase. I don't even care about the Jets.
How do you not? How is this not front page news? How are we not talking about this every fucking day? Every day that man is a head coach, he lowers the bar for the entire league. He lowers the collective IQ. I hate him. I hate that man.
If you haven't, go to b3tsports.com. Read the case against Gase by our own Andy Heidemann.
I'm out.
No. We have Bathline.
We have the Bathline?
We have a Bathline caller. If you guys don't know, we have an open Bathline. You can call in and give in your tips as long as they're in the future, as long as they're not expired tips. Keep it under a minute, and we will show you off. We will display your voicemail for everyone to hear on our podcast. The number for the Bathline is 312-600-5460. Andy, what's that number?
Play the tape.
That's 312-600-5460. And here, oh man, fuck. Okay, here we go. Here is the Bathline for this episode.
Hey, Bath Boys. This is your favorite D-Gen, Rome. I'll do my best to emulate Ian and finish in under a minute. Big Ten kicks off this weekend. Whole lot of wait and see for me. No idea what's going on yet with them. However, the Iowa Hawkeyes are only -3 at Purdue. Purdue's coach has the COVID, and they only won 4 games last year, so seems like an easy bet. Cincy, SMU over-under is set at 53.5. I take the over. Both teams have been dunking on everyone awful they've played, but the Pony Express is back. Also, Oki Light is only -3.5 with Iowa State coming to town. All right, stay up, boys.
Very good, Rome. Very good. That was 47 seconds. You kept it under a minute.
I'm not
good
taking
shit.
Iowa to cover a 3 spread. Iowa's going to lose to Purdue.
Oh, you hear that, Rome. Andy is calling out your bullshit.
I will tell you why. Iowa is an awful football team. They produce offensive linemen and tight ends. Everything else is awful. They have a horrible head coach. And he, I'm telling you right now, what do you do when you pass on, or when you run on first down and run on second down? You have to pass every single third down. Kirk Ferentz is an out of his league coach. He is horrible, and I want him gone. And his family has their fucking fingers clawed into that program. So even when he's gone, his son's going to take over. It's awful.
Why are we not talking about this every day? Why are we not talking about this every day?
Now you're getting
it. Why is this not front page news?
God, I'm blowing out my speaker yelling about this shit. All right. I'm out. Now I'm out.
All right. Thanks for joining. We'll see you guys next week.
Time to hit the showers because baths are for babies.
Normally, you can only get this technique in one of my classes, but I wanted to share this with you because I believe every man should get grapefruited. When you grapefruit your man, it's going to feel as if you are giving him head and fucking him at the same time.
Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling.
Valentino summers and wave runners. Chains on my niggas like slave runners. Drug dealers anonymous. Valentino summers and wave runners. Chains on my niggas like slave runners. Drug dealers anonymous. How many Madonnas can that Mazda fit? My brick talk is more than obvious. It's ominous. Garage is the phantom. Ghouls, ghosts, and goblins. Blonde mohawk the collection. I'm Dennis Rodman.
No better feeling would he ever get than being grapefruited. No better feeling would he ever get.
Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling.